Morning. Today's Davening Erev Nun Zayin. We're in Nun Vav Amud Beis. We are about halfway down in the Amud, a little bit less than that. We're starting with the words Tanya. Tanya Amar Rebbe Eliezer. First word in the line is Trey Alfe Atrey Alfe. And we begin today with the Brisa. The Brisa is going to be starting a discussion regarding Ari Levim. Ari Levim, 48 cities that were given to the Levim in Eretz Yisrael. Six of them Ari Mikla, the other four, or 42 just simply Ari Levim. The Gemara is going to be discussing them as they relate to our discussion over here regarding the bordering of a city, the extending of a city. So as long as we were talking about extensions of cities, so the Ari Levim come up in the discussion of the Gemara. Gemara is going to be discussing Ari Levim until we get to the Mishnah and Zayin Amud Aleph right in the middle of the Amud. And then from that point forward, we're going to be discussing unification of two cities that are next to one another. Those are going to be our topics for this morning. So we start with Ari Levim. Ari Levim, the discussion over here is going to be extraordinarily technical and also very visual. If you have any kind of picture book in front of you that gives you a picture, I'm sure the art school does an excellent job in doing so. So by all means, I encourage you to look at any pictures as we are describing this, as it's going to be a very visual daf. I'm going to be trying, obviously, to paint a picture, but nevertheless, the picture over here will be very helpful. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. We are right in the middle of the Amud as we begin. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Tchum Ari Levim Alpayim Amah. So the extension of an Ari Levim goes out 2,000 Amas. Same ahem Elef Amah Migrash. Now, of those 2,000 Amas, 1,000 of it is going to be Migrash. So in other words, in terms of the laying out of Ari Levim, so once the city comes to an end, after that, it's going to be 2,000 Amos. Of those 2,000 Amos, the first 1,000 Amos that approximate to the city, so that's going to be Migrash. Migrash is going to be a barren area, an empty area. And then after that, you put in vineyards and other types of orchards. Nimsa Migrash Revi of Ashar Sado Sukramen. Now, the Brisa concludes somewhat awkwardly. The Brisa says, it comes out now that the Migrash is a quarter, and everything else is going to be vineyards and fields and vineyards. Now, obviously, the math does not work out, meaning if of the 2,000, 1,000 are going to be Migrash, so that sounds like half, that doesn't sound like a quarter. That's going to be the Gemara's question. The Gemara is going to pose that question. The Gemara is going to give multiple answers, four answers in total. But in the meantime, the Gemara first, Menon Emilia, how do we know this? I'm a Rava, I'm a Kral, the Pasuk. When describing the Ari Levim, Mikir Ha'ir V'chutza Elef Amah Saviv. So from the wall of the city going outward, it's 1,000 Amah going around. So Amra Torah Saviv is Ha'ir Be'elef. So the Torah is telling us is that what you're going to do is you're going to create a perimeter around the city of 1,000. That's the Migrash. Name's the Migrash Revia. So, and it comes out now that the Migrash is going to be a quarter. Okay. So what we have now established is that for the Ari Levim, so we have just described the perimeter outside of the city made up of 2,000 in total. Of the 2,000, 1,000 is Migrash. It's going to be open area. And the dilemma is going to be the way the Brisa concludes, where the Brisa says that the Migrash is going to make up a quarter of the entire outer perimeter. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Revi'a Pagahave, what do you mean it's a quarter? It's not a quarter, it's half. So this obviously is a simple question. It definitely demands a response. And the Gemara is going to attack this problem in four different ways. Four different Amoraim are going to be all proposing different answers. The list of Amoraim, as we're going to see them, in the order that we're going to see them, is going to be Rava, Abaya, Ravina, and Ravashi. We'll start with Rava. So Amar Rava. So Rava says the following. Bar Adam Mishucha'a Azberli. So I spoke to a surveyor. And his name happens to have been Bar Ada. He was a Bar Ada by profession. He surveyed property, he surveyed land, and he explained the following to me. Mishkachla b'masa d'havya trei afe al trei afe. So we are going to find it by the city. The city itself is 2,000 by 2,000, meaning the Torah itself does not give us the dimensions of the city. So when we say that the perimeter is going to be when we say that the perimeter is going to be 2,000 amas, and of that, 1,000 is going to be Migrash, and that represents a quarter. So we don't even know the starting point, which is how big a city are we talking about. So we're going to have to start off with the size of a city. So in this particular Brisa, Rava says, it was explained to him, that the city itself is 2,000 Amas, 2,000 by 2,000. Okay. Now that becomes important in terms of establishing an area. So if you have a city by 2,000 by 2,000 amos, so what are we talking about in terms of the square amma of the city itself? So that's very simple. It's 2,000 times 2,000. That's 4 million. For the purposes of our discussion right now, we're going to assume that every time we talk about the square footage or the square amma, so it's obviously in the millions. So I'm just going to use the number 4 because it's going to be 4 of those millions. And from this point going forward, all numbers are going to be assumed millions. I'm just going to give out the number of millions that it is. So the square area of the city is going to be 4. Tchum kamahavi. Now, how much is tchum? Now, what we're going to be doing over here is that when we look at tchum, we're going to be looking at the exterior of the city, and we're going to break it up into quadrants. And for the purpose of this discussion, we're going to have two different sections of quadrants going around the city. One is called tchum, and the other is called kratos. Now, if we are looking at the entire perimeter, we really wouldn't make a distinction between the tchum and the kratos, meaning it's all just simply the perimeter. But for the purpose of our discussion over here, so we're going to make a distinction. Tchum is the area outside immediately opposite the city itself. So in other words, there are 4 areas of tchum. How much does the tchum, how much area does each of the tchum have? The answer is going to be, it's going to be 2,000 by 2,000, which means 4 million square amas, or again, the number 4. So, and now take that in total. In other words, I have 4 quadrants that represent this area. So that's 4 times 4, that's 16. So tchum kamahavya shitzer, so that's exactly what the Gemara says. So the tchum now is going to be a total of 16. Kronos kamahavya. Now what about the kronos? And now those are the 4 quadrants that find themselves in the 4 corners. So that also, each one of them is going to have 4 million square amos, 4. And there are 4 of them, so that obviously is going to be 16. That's shitzer. That's 16. So now we've just identified that the total area of both the tchum and the kronos of our city is going to be a total of 32. Now the Gemara says, good. So here's what we're going to do now. What we're going to do is that we're going to take the immediate perimeter of everything, and that's going to be the Midrash. Now how much is that? That's Tresar, that's going to be a total of 12. So that means to say that if I were to now section off of the perimeter we just described, if I were now to take the first 1,000 of that perimeter from the city going outbound, in all of those quadrants, both the Tchum quadrants and the Kronos quadrants, and I were to take the first 1,000, that gives me a total of 12. So Kamehavi Tresar, that's going to be now a total of 12. Nimsa Migrash Revia, so the Gemara says, good. So now we have it. So it's going to be 12 million square amos of Migrash against the total of 32. So 12 of 32, that's a quarter. Now hopefully as you hear that, you're saying to yourself, that's not true. It's not a quarter. And the Gemara immediately notes that. The Gemara says, Tfei mitlasa ninu. What are you talking about? It's more than a third, right? It's not even a third, and we're looking to get to a quarter over here. So the Gemara says, fine. I see arba damasa shadi alayu. So the Gemara says, all right, you're right, but when we're talking about a quarter, when we're talking about the ratio, we're actually also including the city as well. Oh, so we're including the city as well. The city itself also represents another 4. So what we have now is not 32 million square amos, but we actually have 36 million square amos. So now 36 million square amos. So how much of that is Migrash? So 12 of it is Migrash. So the Gemara says, good. So that's it, right? So the Gemara says, no, that's not it. Akati tilsa havai. So that's not a quarter, that's a third. 12 over 36 is exactly a third. So at best right now, we got to a third. And what we're looking for, what we're shooting for, is a quarter, at least to explain the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Misfar's berivu kamar bi'igula kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to change one of our original assumptions, and that is that the city itself was square in shape. The city itself was not square in shape, but rather the city itself was circular, with a diameter of 2. 2 amas by 2 amas. So now, basically, in that square where we thought the city occupied, it's not actually a square, but rather it's a circle within the square. So now what that does is that opens it up so that the Midrash is going to be slightly larger. And I'm sorry. The city itself. No, let's do it this way. The city itself is now going to be slightly smaller than we originally thought. Now, question: how much smaller is the city going to be now than we originally had it? So we originally had the city two by two, which 2,000 by 2,000, which is 4 million square amas. But now that we made it circular, so that means it's going to be a little bit smaller. Now, if the city is going to be circular, so then we're going to also make another assumption, and that is also the Migrash is going to be circular as well. Now, the Migrash being circular, so the Migrash we had at being 12, but now that it's circular, so it's going to be the circle inscribed within the square. Question. Kama Meruba, this is the Gemara's question. Kama Meruba Yosar al Eagle Revia. So the Gemara says now, being that it is a circle within the square, so how much smaller an area is it of any circle drawn within a square? So the answer is going to be, it's going to be a quarter less. So in other words, every time, and mathematically this works out, anytime you're drawing a circle within a square, so the area of the circle inscribed within the square is going to be a quarter of what the square was. Square was a total of 12. The square of the Migrash was a total of 12. But now we're reducing it because now it's not the square, but rather the circle within the square. So a quarter of that is going to be, in other words, I'm going to reduce it by 1/4 of 12. 1/4 of 12 is going to be 9. So Dalri Vaminah Pashlu Tisha. So now it comes out that the Migrash in total is going to be 9, not 12. So good. So the total area of the city plus the surrounding perimeter is going to be a total of 36, like we originally stated. And now the area of the Migrash is going to be 9, now that we have come to the understanding that it's not a square, but rather a circle inscribed within the square. So which means it's 9. 9 over 36, perfect. That's what we were looking for. V'tisha mitasim v'shitha riva havai. The Gemara says exactly. So 9 over 36 is now going to be a quarter. Okay, this is all but one solution in terms of how we get here. So we now have described the Ari Levium. We describe now the Tchum of the Ari Levium. Half of the Tchum is going to be Migrash. And the mathematical question that the Gemara dealt with is that the Braisa insisted that the Migrash makes up a quarter. How do we get from a half to a quarter? So Rava's answer, somewhat technical, let's say it better, very technical, but mathematically does in fact work out, but with a number of changed assumptions. One is that when talking about the total area, we're including the city as well. Two is that when we're talking about the Migrash, we're not talking about a square Migrash, but rather we're talking about a circular Migrash inscribed within the square. And once I take those two and change those two assumptions, so then we do in fact get to a total ratio of 1 to 4. One part Migrash to the other four parts of the total area of both the perimeter and the city. This is all but Rava's explanation. We have three more explanations to go in the Gemara, and now we're up to Abaye. Abaye Amar Mishkach Alanami B'Masa Davia Afa Ba'Afa Tchumim. Sorry, Afa Ba'Afa. So Abaye says, let's start off the entire problem, if you will, with a different starting point, and that is the city itself is going to be 1 by 1, 1,000 by 1,000. So 1,000 square amas in total. Okay, now with that stated, so Tchumim Kama Hava Tanya. So now everything's going to change. Well, not everything, but a lot of things are going to change now. In other words, now we're going to be looking at the quadrants that go around this city. And over here, it does help now to separate the Tchum quadrants from the Kronos quadrants. You see, the Tchum quadrants are no longer quadrants because now it's 2,000 amas outside the city, but it's only 1,000 amas across. So it's 1,000 by 2,000 for the Tchum quadrant. So the word quadrant really is not a good and accurate way to describe it, but hopefully you understand what I mean. So there, it's now going to be, those Tchum are going to be a total of 2 million square amas. There are four of them, that makes a total of 8. And the Gemara now just went through that number. Let me read it again in the Gemara. So Tchumim Kamahave Tamnaya Kronos. So that's going to be a total of 8 million square amas. Tamnaya Kama. Kronos Kamahavia. Now, what about the actual corners? Now, they are, in fact, going to be quadrants. Because if you look at the corners, they are going to be 2,000 by 2,000. Again, if you're looking at a picture in front of you, it's easy to see it. It's kind of hard if you have to formulate it in your head right now. But if you're looking at the corners right now, it's going to be 4 million square amas. Now, you take four of them, because there are four corners, and Kamahavia, so that shifts us. That's going to be a total of 16. That's 4 times 4, that's 16. Now, that makes a total, in terms of a perimeter, of 24 million square amos. Now, Dal Arba de Tchumim, Va Arba de Kronos, Kamehave Tamnaya. Now, when talking about now the Migrash, So the Midrash is going to be the first 1,000 that juts out from the city in every direction. And how much is that going to be now in total? So it's going to be a total of 8. 8 million square. So that's now going to be 8 over 24. So the Gemara says, that's great, right? Now, of course, it's not great. Because 8 over 24 is only a third. That's exactly what the Gemara says. So, Tilsahaba, it's only going to be a third. And again, we're trying to explain the Brisa. The Brisa says that the Midrash represents a quarter of the total. And meanwhile, what we got to in Abaye's configuration is that's only a third. It's 8 over 24. So the Gemara says, Misfars birivu kamar bigula kamar. Again, the Gemara says for Abaye, once again, we're going to change it, turning the Midrash from a square into a circle, meaning the Midrash is not going to be the total area of the square, but rather it's going to be a circle inscribed within the square. So now what we do is we're going to reduce it by a quarter. In other words, every time you have a circle within a square, it's going to be a quarter of the total area of the square. So if the total area of the square is 8, so how much is the circle going to be? 6. Kama meruba yoser al igol revi'a. So the Gemara says now that's going to be a quarter. Del revi'a pashlu shisa, that gets me to 6. Now when I take 6 over 24, so it comes out to exactly being a quarter. All right. What makes Abaye's answer any better than Rava's answer? There's really only one difference, as it would seem to me. There's only one significant difference between Abaye and Rava, aside from the obvious, which is that the size of the city is different. But for Rava, in order to get to the ratio of 1 to 4, in order to get to a quarter, so Rava had to take also the area of the city itself included in order to get to a quarter. For Abaye, so although he did have to circle the Midrash, as opposed to having it being the total square, but for Abaye, at least you have the advantage where you don't have to include the area of the city. Somewhat preferable because in the Brisa seems to be describing the ratio of the Midrash to the rest of the Tchum. It doesn't seem to be simple pshat in the Brisa that we're also including the city. So that is one small advantage that you have of Abaye's answer over that of Rava's answer. Okay, but anyway, so here's what we have right now. We have two approaches to how to solve for our problem. The Brisa says that the ratio from the Midrash to the rest of the perimeter area around the Ari Levim is going to be a quarter. And meanwhile, it seems to be not a quarter, but rather a half. And so far we have two answers, Rav and Abaye. Basically, both of them are similar in nature, and we just highlighted the slight differences between them. Anyway, we're going to continue in the Gemara. Ravin and Ravashi are two more answers, and as Rashi understands it, they're both going back to Rava's specification. So you go to the configuration as Rava originally presented it, where the city itself is going to be 2,000 by 2,000, 4 million square amas, and now Ravina Amar, my Ravia, Ravia de Tchumen. And Ravina's answer is like this, is that when we're talking about the area of the Midrash, so what, if, first of all, is the Midrash? So the way Rashi understands it, and again, if you have a picture in front of you, it's going to be really easy to see, slightly more challenging to describe, but I'm going to describe it anyway, and that is that we're only looking at the 1,000 amas of the Tchum quadrants, not the Kronos quadrants. The Kronos quadrants are not part and parcel of the Midrash. So now, if I'm just looking at the Tchum and the 1,000 amas that are going out into the Tchum, so now it's very good. So in other words, the total area of the perimeter of the 2,000 amas going out in every direction with all the quadrants, not all four quadrants, but with all the quadrants, the Tchumen quadrants and the Kronos quadrants, so it comes out to a total of 32. And if the Midrash is only going to be but the Tchum quadrants and half of the Tchum quadrants, so that only makes up now going to be 8. So 8 over 32, that's a quarter. Okay, so that is another solution to the problem. And the Gemara provides for us a fourth solution to the problem. Fourth solution to the problem is that of Ravashi. Ravashi is going to be similar to Ravina. It's just going to be an inversion of Ravina. Ravashi Amar my Ravia. Ravia is a Kronos. Ravashi says that when we're describing now the Midrash is going to be not in the Tchum quadrants, but rather it's going to be in the Kronos quadrants. In fact, the Midrash is going to be making up a quarter of each of the Kronos quadrants. So in fact, according to Ravashi, actually it works out perfectly. Meaning if we're just looking at the Kronos quadrants and we're saying that only a quarter of each of them is going to be filled in with Midrash, so then perfect. So of the Kronos quadrants, so a quarter of them is going to be used for Migrash. Three quarters of them are going to be used for Tchum. Okay. But only on the corners, but not on the Tchum quadrants, meaning the Tchum quadrants has no Migrash to it whatsoever. If you're looking at a picture, you can see it perfectly. Okay, so what we have now in front of us are four different answers in order to solve for the Braisa. Braisa brought up the relationship between Migrash and Tchum of the Ari Levium. It described it as being a quarter, and we just went through four different approaches of how to understand that. Rava Abaye, Ravina, Ravashi. So Amalei Ravina la Ravashi. So the Gemara has just a couple of follow-up questions before we get to the upcoming Mishnah. So first of all, Amalei Ravina la Ravashi. So Vahat Saviv Ksiv. So Ravashi, your answer is very curious because it says that the Migrash is surrounding the city. Now, the way you described it, where the Migrash is only in the corner quadrants and not on the Tchum quadrant, so what does it mean it's surrounding? So the Gemara says, my sub is sub Dekranus. But the answer the Gemara says is very simple, and that is, this also could be viewed as a perimeter. It's fair to say that it's just the corners that are Migrash, and we're still going to call that a perimeter. Why? Because the Ilotem Achiv, you don't say that, Gabi Ola Dechsiv, Zarku, Esadam, Ala Mizbeach, Saviv. Consider that what the Kohanim do when they sprinkle the blood around the Mizbeach, the Torah calls it a saviv, a perimeter, and of course we know that the blood is sprinkled on the corners and only on the corners. So therefore, it is totally fair to describe a perimeter and just be relating to the corners. We see that by the Mizbeach. So Achanami saviv mamish. So here, Elamai saviv, I'm sorry, Achanami saviv mamish. So you think that by the Mizbeach, the blood is going to be sprinkled around the entire perimeter? That's not true. Elamai saviv, saviv dekranos. So by the Mizbeach, we mean the corners. Achanami, my saviv, saviv dekranos. And the same thing is true over here. When we're talking about saviv as it relates to the Ari Levium, it just is making reference to the corners. It's not describing the actual Tchum quadrants. Good. So that's one follow-up question. But the truth of the matter is, Ravashi seems to have a fantastic response to that question. Amale Rav Chaviva, Mechuzan al Ravashi va'ika morsa de kanasa b'masa igulta v'ha rivuam. So the Gemara says, okay, now what we did is that we created, in order to answer for both Rava and Abaye, we took the square city, and what do? We made it circular. We made it circular, and therefore the Migrash is going to be circular as well. And so therefore we said that the area of the Migrash is now going to be no longer, well, I'll do it like Rava. It's no longer going to be a 12, but rather now it's going to be 9, because it's a circle inscribed within a square. The Gemara says, okay, but here's my problem. My problem is that the city itself, even though we made the city, we changed the shape of the city from being square to circle, but didn't we learn in yesterday's daf and the day before, Nun Hei and Nun Vav, that whenever you have a circular city, for the purposes of Tchum, you square the city? So the Gemara says, okay, now if we're going to square the city halachically, so doesn't that mean that the protrusions of the corners are going to go into the Migrash? So the truth of the matter is, now the Migrash is actually going to be even further reduced because you have the corners of the city going and jutting into the Migrash. So the Gemara says, it's true, but ema damrin chazinan kemanda marva, revua vada mi marvana. So the Gemara says, yeah, for halachic purposes of Tchum, that's true. But that doesn't change the reality that the city is a circular shape. And the Migrash is going to be a circular shape. So yes, vis-a-vis the halachic reality of Tchum, we do square off a city. But in terms of actual measurement of the city, that doesn't change the actual dimensions of the city itself. The city itself now has been reduced from a square to a circle. The Migrash is going to be reduced from a square to a circle. And even though, yes, it's true, the halacha allows us to see corners for the corners of the circular city, but still in terms of actual dimensions, the city has now been reduced to a circle, and the Migrash is reduced to a circle, and therefore the Migrash is going to maintain an area of 9 million square amas, not 12 million square amas. Okay, and one more follow-up question, and that is the following. Amalei Rav Chanilai Mechuzan L'Ravashi. So here, again, same participants of the question. Actually, the previous one was Rav Chaviva Mechuzana, and this is Rav Chanilai Mechuzana, but still the recipient of this question is Ravashi, and that's the following. Mirti. Kama Meruba Yoser Al Igol Revia. So we talked about the relationship between a circle inscribed within a square, and that it's going to be a quarter less. So hane tamne mea shis mea vishisim v'sheva nechitilsa have. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to what we learned a couple of days ago regarding those extensions. Meaning, when I have a circular city and we're allowed to square the circular city. So you remember in yesterday's daf, we talked about how much does that gain for you. So how much does it gain? So we talked about a city that was 2,000 amas. So by putting a square around the circle and having now the hypotenuse going out to the corner, so that gave us an additional 800 amas. So the Gemara says 800 amas, but wait 1 second. If we're noting that the total area that of excess of a square of a circle is going to be a quarter, so that means to say that if the number now is 2,000, and now we're talking about the total excess being no greater than a quarter greater, so that means to say that really the number should be not 800, but rather 666. 666 and two-thirds. Meaning that if I took 666 and two-thirds and looked at a quarter of it, that would be the proper number that we should arrive at when coming up with these numbers. Meaning the relationship between a square and a circle inscribed within the square. Meaning it only exceeds it by a quarter. So the Gemara says, so the extra should not be 800, but the extra should rather be 666 and two-thirds. So the Gemara says, Amalei hanami libi igula migo rivua. So the Gemara says that, yes, you're right, but you're not right. Meaning, when I'm looking at the relationship between a circle inscribed within a square, so yes, you're right. So the circle is a quarter less than that of a square. That part's true and accurate. However, what we're looking at over here is the total hypotenuse, meaning that we are now going to be creating a line, making a line from one corner to the other corner. Meaning in our 2,000 by 2,000 amma box, so the hypotenuse goes from end to end. There, we know exactly what the relationship is between the hypotenuse and the two sides of a triangle, two equal sides of a triangle. And that is the relationship is, what we the way we described it is 1.4, which is an estimate. It's not a perfect description. A better description would be Pythagorean theorem. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. And over here, because A and B are the same, so it comes out now where if I solve for the hypotenuse, it's going to be the square root of 2. Square root of 2 is going to be approximately 1.4, right? It's an irrational number. Anyway, the point is that if the hypotenuse would have ended at the arc itself of the circle, so then you're making an argument, but that's not what we're describing over here. We're describing the hypotenuse going from one end of the, from one corner all the way to the other corner, where there we know it's 1.4. So if it's 1.4, so now if the sides are going to be 2,000, so then the hypotenuse is going to be 2,800, an additional 800. Okay, so good. So those are just some follow-up questions that the Gemara has regarding our answers, and that ends our first discussion this morning regarding Arei Levim. We are now continuing. We're on the Mishnah Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Nos Din Karfav L'Ir Divrei Rabbi Meir. This Mishnah should sound familiar, as we quoted this Mishnah not so long ago, back on Nun Hei Amud Beis, 2 days ago. The Mishnah over here describes a Karfav for a city. Now, a Karfav, as we already described extensively back in the second parak of Erevin, so that is the enclosed area that is non-residential. Now, although that's true, back in the second paragraph, the word karfaf over here has a different connotation. We're borrowing the term karfaf over here simply because of its measurement. Meaning a karfaf as a square, karfaf in total is 5,000 square amas. If I were to square the 5,000 square amas, so each side would be 70 and two-thirds. Again, not perfect, but a good approximation. 70 and two-thirds. So basically, we're using the word karfaf over here for the linear measurement of 70 and two-thirds. Now, according to Rameyer, as far as the city is concerned, every city's got a karfaf, which means that even after we exit the city, we're not starting the tchum count. The tchum count of 2,000 amas, where you cannot exceed 2,000 amas, does not begin the moment you leave the city, but rather, according to Rameyer, first every city is given a buffer zone of what's called a karfaf, meaning 70 and two-thirds amma. Then, and only after the 70 and two-thirds amma, do we start counting tchum? This is Rav Meir's understanding of a karfaf as it relates to a city. The Chachamim say no. The Chachamim amrim lo amru karfaf ela bein shtei ayaros. Im yesh lezu shivam ama v'shirayim, lezu shivam ama v'shirayim, osu karfa feshteyem, lios echad. So the Chacham said to Rav Meir, you misunderstood the principle of karfaf as it relates to cities. A city is not given a buffer. Tchum begins immediately after the city has come to an end, meaning once you exit the city, once you exit the walls of the city, so now you started your tchum count. There is an idea of karfaf, but the idea of karfaf is talking about the unification of two cities. If I have two cities that are proximate, one next to another, if they are a karfaf's length, one next to the other, so now what we get to do is we get to view these two cities as one unified city. V'chein, similarly, gimel kfar mamishloshin, im yesh ben shnayim chitzon me'a v'arbein v'achas v'shlish, osem sa'i shloshtom li'os echad. Let's say I have three cities. Right now I'm going to present the Mishnah as a havamina. And that is I have three cities in a row. So if the two outer cities are at a distance of 141 and a third, right, you probably figured out, that's 70 and two-thirds multiplied by two. If the distance between them is greater than that, but the city is in the, there's a middle city, so also emtsai is shloshtam li'os echad, so what the middle city is able to do is it's able to now unify the two exterior cities so that all three cities now become one unified city. So if you live all the way in the east of the eastern city, so what you can do now on Shabbos is you can walk through the middle city, through the western city, and your tchum is only going to begin after exiting on the western side of the western city. Good. So as far as a karfaf, as it relates to the extending a city, so we have in our Mishnah fundamental machlok between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir says that every city is given a buffer of 70 and two-thirds as basically an addendum to a city, as an extension to the city. Tchum only begins after that point in time. And the Chachamim say, no, that's not what karfaf does. Karfaf, and the only thing that karfaf does, according to the Chachamim, is it unifies two cities. As long as the two cities are within a karfaf of one another, so then these two cities become one city. Now, Menani Mili Amar Rava Damakra Mikira Ir V'chutza Amar Torah Tein Chutza V'achar Kach Medod. Now, as far as the source of Rav Meir, so the Gemara gives us a source. Rava gives us a source. The pasuk says, again, we're going back to the Ari Levim, Mekir Ha'ir, from the city, V'chutza, and going exterior. Which means that what the Torah is telling us is that every city's got an exterior. And that and only after the exterior, then and only then do you start measuring tchum. So tein chutzav archakach medod, and then you only start measuring tchum after this exterior. And the exterior is going to be the 72/3. Interesting, what the Gemara over here does not do is the Gemara does not go over the back and forth because the Chachamim don't agree with that drasha. And the Chachamim obviously look at this pasuk and understand it differently, and the Gemara does not take us through the classic back and forth. How did the Chachamim understand this pasuk? The Chachamim Amr Lo Amr. We move on to the sheet of the Chachamim. Their understanding of Karfaf is that it unifies two cities. Now, in order for unification, so the cities have to be proximate to one another. Simple question the Gemara is going to ask and debate, and that is, how close do these cities have to be one next to another? Well, after reading the Mishnah, the answer seems to be pretty clear, right? It has to be, they can be no greater than a Karfaf. So interesting, the Gemara is going to debate. Itmar. Rav Huna Amar Nostin Karfaf Lezu V'Karfaf Lezu. So Rav Huna says, yes, a Karfaf, but each city is given a Karfaf. Meaning, for purposes of unifying the city, so each city now is given a Karfaf. That means to say that if the overlap between the Karfaf of one city and the Karfaf of the other city, if there is overlap, so then the two cities get unified. Which means to say that according to Rav Huna, as long as the cities are within 141 and a third Amma of each other, then they're going to be unified. And Rechia Barav says, no, what are you talking about? The only way the two cities are going to be unified is if the distance is one karfaf between them, meaning 70 and two-thirds between them. So over here, a simple machlokus between the Amoraim, in terms of the understanding of the Shitas Chachamim, how many karfifios are we going to be looking at in terms of unifying our two cities? Now, after having read the Mishnah, wasn't the answer obvious from the Mishnah? Meaning, why is it subject to a debate? So what we get to do now is we get to reread the Mishnah, and now we're going to see whether or not the Mishnah is supportive of Rav Huna or that of Chiyar Barav. So Tanan, let's take a look back at our Mishnah. The Chachamim Amrim Lo Amru Karfaf Ela Bein Beis Ayaros. To Yufta de Rav Huna. Now the Mishnah says, Karfaf in the singular sounds very much like the position of Chiyabarav. So Amlacha Ravuna, my Karfaf, Torah's Karfaf. So Ravuna says, no, that's not how you read the Mishnah. The Mishnah wasn't describing the actual Karfaf. The Mishnah was talking about the concept of Karfaf, the laws of Karfaf. You provide the laws of Karfaf to the city. But what do the laws of Karfaf dictate? That each city has its own Karfaf, so that if the cities are within two Karfavios of one another, then they're going to be unified. That's how you read the Mishnah. Ula olam Karfaf lezu, Karfaf lezu. So that's how Rav Huna would read the Mishnah. Hachinami mistah, but the Gemara says, in fact, if I kept reading in the Mishnah, you'll see that Rav Huna's pshat seems to actually be the better pshat in the Mishnah. Because midiktani sefer, because look at the end of the Mishnah. Imesh lezu ayinama vishirayim, lezu ayinama vishirayim, osta karfaf l'shtem lios l'achad. The Mishnah says that, yeah, give a karfaf to one city and a karfaf to the other city. And as long as the city's karfavios overlap any amount, so then the two cities become unified. Shema mina. So you see clearly in the Mishnah that in order to unify a city, it's actually two karfafs, not one, like Rav Huna. So lemeti avet yufta dechia barav. So now, after having read the second half of the Mishnah and seeing how strongly it supports the sheet of Rav Huna, so what are you going to do if you're chia barav? So amlecha chia barav. So chia barav will tell you as we turn to the Amud Beis. Hi, mani Rebbe Meir hi. No, the end of the Mishnah was going back to the Shita of Reb Meir. The Gemara says, what? So, e Rebbe Meir, he, hatan l'resha. Why would the Mishnah go back to the Shita of Reb Meir? Reb Meir already voiced his opinion in the first part of the Mishnah. And the Gemara just reiterates. So, nosin karfaf li'er div Rebbe Meir. Reb Meir says that the karfaf is not a measurement to unify. A karfaf is just simply an extension that's given to every city outside its wall. And then what's happening at the end of the Mishnah? The end of the Mishnah is just reiterating Ramir's position. That's very difficult. So the Gemara says, no, tzricha. The Gemara says, no, it's not so difficult. In fact, it's necessary for Ramir, assuming that the second half of the Mishnah is going back to the sheet of Ramir, it would be necessary for the Mishnah to repeat Ramir's point again. D'i me'ahi hava min echad l'chad v'chad l'tarte. Kamash malan de l'tarte tre yavina luhu. So the Gemara says, well, if all we had was just the first Mishnah would say that for one city we're going to give one karfaf. For two cities we're going to give one karfaf. But for two cities that are next to one another, we're going to provide two karfifios. V'i ashmin en hachamishum dechike tashmishayu aval hasam delot dechike tashmishayu eimalot tzricha. And if all I had was the second half of the Mishnah where I had these two cities that were really close to one another, so there I would give a karfaf to one city and a karfaf to another city, because consider, what kind of gap are we looking at between these two cities? It's not a large gap. 141 amas between the two. So I would basically say, we made a similar argument just recently, I would say that it's not really usable land. And so therefore, I could just basically see that as an extension of the cities. But if I have a standalone city, so maybe I would have thought that the mayor would say that the area immediately outside the city is not given this extension, it's not given this karfaf status. So therefore, tzricha, so the Gemara says, so that's why both of the points of the Mishnah are necessary for Reb Meir. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So we are at a impasse of the Gemara in terms of where the Mishnah necessarily takes us, whether it takes us to the direction of Rav Huna or to that of Chiya Barav. So again, just to quickly summarize, we now know that according to the Chachamim, the only idea of a Karfaf is that it's able to unify two cities if the two cities are proximate to one another. How proximate to one another do they have to be? So Rav Huna says they have to be within two karfafs of one another, meaning each city is given a karfaf, and if they overlap at all, so then the two cities are unified. And Chiya Barav says, no, the cities have to be even closer. We only allow for a one karfaf distance between the two cities in order for the cities to be unified. And we just went through the Mishnah, and the Mishnah seems to be not supportive, or let's say it differently. The Mishnah is supportive of both Rav Huna and Chiya Barav. Continuing in the Gemara Tanan, we're going to go now to this part of the Mishnah where we describe that third city in the middle, that middle city, Tanan. So here, in this last case in the Mishnah, so we have a distance between the exterior cities of being 141 and a third. And now it's too far away from one another, only because there's a city in the middle. Are we able now to bridge these three cities and unify these three cities together. And the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to make a simple deal. And this time at the Ika in Sai. Okay, good. So the only reason why the two exterior cities are unified is because of that middle city. So Haleka in Sai lo. So, but without that middle city, now the two cities are too far away from one another. Even though, what's the total distance between the two exterior cities? 141 and a third. Now, if you're Rav Huna, that in of itself should be enough. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says it's not enough. You need a middle city. Tiyufta de Rav Huna. That seems to be a really strong question on Rav Huna. So, Amlecha Rav Huna, Ayit Marla. So, Rav Huna says, you totally misunderstood that last case on the Mishnah. The last case in the Mishnah is not talking about where the three cities are in a row, because if that were the case, then what exactly would be the Chiddush of the Mishnah? That's not what the Mishnah is describing. Rather, he says the Mishnah is describing the following. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Idi, Amar Rav Chanina, Lo Mishulashim Mamish. They're not three cities in a row. El Aron Kol She'ilu Matil Amtsai Beinehem V'yu Mishulashim V'ein Bein Zeh L'Zeh El Kuf Mem Amar V'Achas V'Shlish Asa Amtsai Eshosh Tom Lios Echad. So what is the case? The case is where the middle city is offline. Meaning if we were to draw a line from the two exterior cities, so the middle city is not in between, but rather it's above. In fact, it's a triangular configuration. Right? You could see on the side of Rashi, right? This is the one moment where we don't really need a picture. But if you take a look at Rashi over here, that middle city is above the two cities. Between, but above. In other words, it's a triangular configuration. And here's what we're able to do halachically. We're able to apply the principle of rowing, a concept that has come up a number of times over here in Erevin, where we allow ourselves to halachically move a city over. We're not physically going to move it over, but the halacha allows us to move it. So what we're able to do is take that middle city, which is above, and drop it down between. And if we were to drop it in between, and the distance now between the cities and the middle city is less than 141 and a third, so now what we have is unification. Now, this idea of dropping in that middle city, it can't be so far away, meaning consider that every two cities is going to have a third city where you could drop in. So how far away are we talking about? Meaning, what is the limits of Rowan in this case? So Amalei Alpaim Amah. So he says 2,000 Amas. So as long as that middle city is within 2,000 Amas. Now, 2,000 Amas could be understood either to the imaginary line that exists between the two exterior cities, or 2,000 Amas could be a description of the distance between the top city and the two exterior cities. So we could argue that point. We're not going to argue the point right now, but anyway. So Alpai Mamas, 2,000 Amas. Vaha at hu damar kavasi de Rava. So the Gemara goes back to the irregular city that was shaped like a rainbow. And remember, in that case over there, so what we said is, we asked the question, how far a drop, a descent are we talking about from the top of the bow of the city all the way to the imaginary bowstring that's on the bottom of the city? And so it was a debate, but the Gemara said that it's more reasonable to say that it could exceed 2,000 Amas. It could be much more than 2,000 Amas. So over there, you allowed for an excess of 2,000 Amas. But over here, in terms of dropping the center city into the line of the two exterior cities, you say it only can be capped at 2,000 Amas. What's the difference? But the Gemara says, what do you mean, what's the difference? It's really different. Hachi hashta. Hasam ika batim, hacha leka batim. So the Gemara says there is going to be a obvious difference between them. And that is that in the case of the boat city, so you have houses, meaning when you go to the bottom of the bow, so what you're going to be able to do is access all that interior area just simply by walking from anywhere of the houses into the interior area, and you can cover anywhere of that area. However, in the case of the three cities, in the configured three cities, so there simply is not going to be anywhere to access. Meaning when you're in any one of those cities, you can't walk outside the cities more than 2,000 Amas. So the cases are radically different. And so therefore, the only way that we're able to drop the top city in between these two cities is only if it's within 2,000 Amas. So now, how much is their distance going to be between the two exterior cities? So the Gemara says, what do you mean, how much? So the Gemara says, So that question is an NA. It's not applicable. Meaning, look, what difference does it make how far a distance are we from the two exterior cities? As long as we are halakhically available to take the top city and drop it in between, so we'll do so. And now, once it's dropped in between, the distance between the exterior city and the middle city is going to make all the difference. Meaning, if the distance between one exterior city and the middle city is less than 141 and a third, and the same thing is true with the other exterior city, so then it's good. Otherwise, it's not good. So, Amalei in. So he says, yeah, that's it. What I just described is absolutely correct. So the Gemara says, Vamer Avona Ir Asui Kekesh Asim Yesh Bein Beis Rosh Pachos Me Arba'a Salafim Amma Modedin La Mina Yeser V'im La Modedin La Mina Keshas. So the Gemara says, okay, but once again, we're going to go back to our bowed city, right? The city that looks like a rainbow. Now over there, you remember that what we had a discussion about how far is allowable to go from one end of the bow to the other end of the bow. And we said it maxes out at 4,000 amos. Anything more than 4,000 amos, and so therefore we cannot annex the interior of the bowed city. So the Gemara says over here, when it comes to our two exterior cities, we are in fact going to be annexing and including the area in between, and in the case of the bow, we're not going to be including. So Amar Le, Hasam Leka Lamemar Male, Hacha'ika Lamemar Male. So the Gemara says, again, the cases are different. Because in the case of the bowed city, so how are you going to be accessing that center point of the bow? Meaning, if it exceeds more than 4,000 amos, so there's going to be area that's in the middle that's just simply unaccessible. That's lo male. You just simply can't get there. That's why now we're not annexing the center. Over here, in the case of the dropped city, when I'm taking that city above and I'm dropping it in between, so once halacha allows me to do that, so now it's a filled-in area. Once it's a filled-in area, so then it's going to fill in the gap. Okay, so the Gemara noted that even though the case of the bowed city seems similar to our case of our triangular configuration of the three cities, but the Gemara notes that there are obvious differences, and based on those differences, so what we said regarding the bowed city is not going to necessarily translate to our case over here. And we get to finish up the daft. Amalei Rav Safra L'Rava, Hare B'nei Ak, Akisafon de Mashkinan Luhu Tchuma Mehagisa de Ardashir, Uvene de Ardashir Mashkinan Luhu Tchuma Mehagisa de Akisafon. So Haika Diglas de Mesafka, yes, or Mimea Varbin Vachas Vishlish. Okay. The Gemara has a practical question, and that is, let's take a look at our two cities of Akisafon and Ardashir. Okay. I know they are towns above all, and I know they flank the Tigris River. Okay, and that's about the extent of my geographical knowledge. But for the purposes of our discussion, that's all we need to know. And that is that now the members of each of these cities view their sister city as being united. They view themselves as unified cities. Now, the Tigris River separating them, and the distance between these two cities exceeds 141 and a third amma. And so let's assume that we hold like Rav Huna, that for purpose of unification, we allow for two karfufs worth of distance between them, but still, the distance between these two cities exceed that even of the position Rav Huna. The Tigris River is greater than 141 and a third. And so the question is very simple. How do they view themselves as a unified city? So, Ach bele hanach at ma'asa deshura dimivle bediglas. So, be'ayin ama vishirayin. So, he says, okay, well, let me show you. And in fact, submerged underneath the Tigris River, is actually the ruins of some sort of structure. Not exactly clear what that structure was, but it was walls, right? Amta'asa deshura are some sort of walls of some sort of pre-existing structure. And so that means to say that there was some sort of structure that was serving as the middle city that were actually now able to unify these two cities one to the other. And the Gemara says, fine. So we have basically our third city in the middle that's able to unify these two cities. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Gemara, the end of the Daf, and it gives us an opportunity to review. Topic number one for today, Arei Levim. Cities of the Levim, 48 of them are given, are distributed amongst Eretz Yisrael, given to the Levim for them to live in. Kind of like, if you will, if you appreciate the analogy, it's kind of like federal property. In other words, the Shvatim are state property, and the Arei Levim are federal property. Anyway, but the Torah teaches us that there was a tchum that extended outside these cities. The tchum was 2,000 amas. Of that, so 1,000 of it was Migrash. It was open area. Okay, so that all that's well and good. The problem that our Gemara had to solve for was the fact that the Braisa that we saw on Nunvav Amud Beis described the relationship, the ratio of the Migrash to the Tchum of being a quarter, and the Gemara says it's not a quarter, but rather it's a half. Meaning, if of the 2,000 Amos, 1,000 of it is Migrash, so that's a half, that's not a quarter. And so, it's a mathematical problem. How can we describe the Migrash as being a quarter? And so to that, we had four different answers. I'm not going to go through each of the answers, as each answer is extraordinarily technical, but we had the answers of Rava, Abayi, Ravina, and Ravashi, all giving us their picture of what it looked like, and specifically what the Migrash looked like, in order to arrive at the proper relationship of being a quarter. We then went to the next mission. The next Mishnah introduced us to the idea of a karfaf. A city has a karfaf. Now, the purpose of a karfaf, so a fundamental debate in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Rav Meir says that a karfaf is just simply an extension of a city. Every city, even outside of the wall, has an extension of a karfaf, and so tchum is only measured after the karfaf. So you only start counting your first step of tchum only after exiting and leaving the city 70 and two-thirds of an amma. That is Shitas Rav Meir. Chachamim say no. The purpose of a karfaf is not an extension. Tchum begins the moment you step foot out of a city. Rather, according to the Chachamim, the purpose of karfaf is simply to unify two cities. If I have two cities proximate to one another, a karfaf between the two of them, so then the two cities now become one city, and so therefore the tchum is going to only start after you exit either one of those cities. You could be living in one city, walk to the other city, walk outside the other city, then and only then does your tchum begin. Simple question the Gemara dealt with. When we say that there's a karfaf distance between the two cities, does that mean each city receives a karfaf for the purpose of unification, or is it only one karfaf that's allowable between the two cities, Machlokas Amorayim? The Gemara stalemated in terms of which of these positions are the accepted positions. The Gemara then went into the last case of the Mishnah, which we had three cities in a row, but as we learned together, it's not three cities in a row, but rather triangular configuration. And what the halacha allows us to do is the halacha allows us to take the top city and drop it down between these two cities, and thereby unifying the two cities, provided, of course, the distance between the exterior cities and the middle city, after it's been halachically dropped down, to be less than 141 and a third, like the Shita of Rav Huna. And then, finally, the last part of the daf is that there were two cities flanking the Tigris River, and they viewed themselves as sister cities, a unified city. How can that be? They were the distance between the two cities exceeded that of 141 and a third. And so the Gemara says, actually, there was a bridge city submerged in the water, which actually unifies the two.